Romans chapter 12. And Father, once again, we ask your blessing upon your word. We're so thankful for your word, Lord. And we pray that it would minister to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Obviously, Paul is really serious about this. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I believe that this is something that we need to do every day, sometimes a couple of times a day, because it's so easy to get away from the fact that you have submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that you're his child, and that because you're his child, you're going to obey him as his child, and you're going to do it cheerfully, and you're really excited to be a Christian. I think that because of the world in which we live, it's really important that we listen to Paul here and that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to do it often. And he goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, he says, you need to be transformed. And that happens by the renewing of your mind. And in case there's anyone here that doesn't understand how that takes place, I'll just say that first of all, our mind is renewed. Ideally, you know, my wife, myself, many of us have our Bible right on our cell phones. So if there's something that we want to check, if there's something that we want to look up, or if there's a passage that we'd just like to pray through, we can bring it right up. Maybe you know that passage. Maybe you don't have to bring it up. You know it by heart. But I'll tell you something. The way our minds are renewed is they're renewed by the Word of God. First of all, they're renewed by the Word of God. Secondly, they're renewed by our praying through the Word of God as pertains to our particular need. It's really important that we do that, that we have that time where our minds are literally transformed. You see, you pray and you take the Word of God and apply it to your life. And I'll tell you, as that is happening, as you are seeking the Lord, your mind will be renewed, and it'll be renewed in the sense that your focus now is on the Lord. Now, you know, I'm telling you to do this in the middle of the day, you know, maybe during your break at work, but you know, you go into that break and you're worried, you're thinking about an issue at work, you're thinking about something that you need to get done, you've got all kinds of things on your mind. You renew your mind, and now you still have to get that thing done, but there's a confidence, there's a supernatural confidence that comes because your mind has been renewed. So these first two verses, if you haven't memorized them, these are great candidates for memorizing the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what God wants you to do. I left part of that out, didn't I? But you know. For, well, let me make a few more comments about verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first thing that you need to remember about being in the will of God is that you need to be focused on the Lord, right? I mean, if you're focused on the Lord, your understanding and knowing what the will of God is for the moment, for the hour, for what you're going through at that particular time and day, a day, not only, you know, his general will, but specifically what you're supposed to do, you pray, and the will of God is not going to be far behind in your mind. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, I suppose the theme of this study is sort of threefold tonight. First of all, if you know Jesus, if you've received him as your Savior, you are a member of the body of Christ. And if you're a member of the body of Christ, that means that you have a specific function in the body of Christ. And so the question becomes, are you fulfilling your function in the body of Christ? Now, I know that so often when we come to church, we're hoping that the pastor will say something that will minister to us personally and to perhaps the situation we're going through. Maybe we're going through a stormy time in our marriage, and we're hoping, man, I hope that guy up there says something about marriage, or you know, we're hungry for information that will help us in our daily lives. But we must not forget that we have been called into the body of Christ, and because we are a part of the body, whether you know it or not, I hope you all know it, because we've kind of been working on this on Sunday mornings for a while. If you are a part of the body of Christ, guess what? You have a job in the body of Christ. You have a function in the body of Christ. And those functions are interdependent. I have a function, but there are other people that have functions, and you know, they all kind of come together so that we accomplish what the Lord has called us to do. Now, there are some very obvious things that God has called all churches to do, but you know, they vary church to church depending on you know what kind of area we're in. All of those things are factors. And so it's very important that when we come to church, we're not only coming to hear the Word of God. That's important, and it starts there. But we're also wanting to hear the Word of God that we might use it to apply to the functions that we're called to do in the body of Christ. And we need to remember that we all have a job to do. And if you don't know what your job is yet, you seek the Lord. You ask the Lord. You tell the Lord, Lord, I know you've called me to do something in this church. And Lord, I'm thankful that you're going to show me. And have that confidence that God is going to show you. Don't hesitate to talk to leadership in the church. Talk to me. Talk to other people. Maybe you're thinking, I bet it has something to do with kids because I really love kids. And so talk to Anai and Rakim. It might be something else in some other area. But God has a function for you. So as we contemplate those important jobs that we have in the body of Christ, it's important to think of ourselves, he has the word soberly here, because God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, meaning this: God has not given me the faith to do everything that needs to be done in this church. He hasn't given me the faith. He hasn't given me the strength. There are things that need to be done in this church that other people are called to do. And we function together as we join together in doing those things. But I can't think, well, you know, if they all leave, doesn't matter, I'll just run it. That's not true. We all have an important role to play in this church. And God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith that we need to take care of the things that God has called us to take care of. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So now Paul is going to briefly get into some of the gifts that are necessary to cause the church to function. And the first one that he mentions is prophecy. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is the forthtelling of the word of God, and it is a special gift that is given occasionally to people where, you know, it could be something quite simple, where in a conversation you have something that you need to relay to a member of the body of Christ here, and you're telling them, and you're thinking, man, I don't know if this is coming out right. And suddenly you say it, and you say, boy, that wasn't me. And then you think maybe a little later on, think, Lord, that was you, wasn't it? That was just a simple word of prophecy to that person that perfectly stated what needed to be stated. Now, a word of prophecy can be more than that, but it is a word that God speaks. And he says, use it in proportion to our faith. What does that mean, in proportion to our faith? Well, there's several meanings that commentators have mentioned, but I'll just tell you generally what it means. It means the word of prophecy that you've stated, make sure it stays within the confines of the faith that you believe. Now, I say that, and, you know, some people, they say, well, of course. Why would it be anything else? I mean, I wouldn't share it if it wasn't within the confines of our faith. There are those people, I don't know that they're necessarily in our church, but there are people who sometimes share a word of prophecy and they get a little carried away. And the word of prophecy goes a little bit further than what God has revealed to them to say. And in going further, it's actually going beyond the boundaries of what we believe. So if it's prophecy, don't add to it. Just say what the Lord has put on your heart to say. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. Now, ministry here simply means serving. And we have so many people in this church. They're just good servants. They serve, and they do it in a way that tells us that it's a gift. It's something that the Holy Spirit is energizing in their hearts. They do it tirelessly. They do it joyfully. It's really a blessing to have people in your church that serve the Lord because they love the Lord and because they're called to do these things. And because they know that God is calling them to do it, they rely upon his power, and they do it with no problem. Now, there are people that serve the Lord that, unfortunately, they serve him in their own strength. And so when their strength starts to run out, they get a little grumpy. And when it's all gone, they're really grumpy. And they're serving the Lord, but, you know, you do it in your own strength, and people say, what in the world is wrong with this church? Our gifts are designed so that they operate on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is true, especially of people that serve the Lord. I'm sure all of you at one time have served the Lord, but there are people that are here in this church, and Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday, every day they are here, and they're doing the gift that God has given them in terms of serving the church, and they do it joyfully. They're happy to do it. And they do it with great strength and great determination. So that gift of ministry, that's a valuable gift. And, we need to encourage those who minister to us in that way. Some of you probably don't even know who they are, but there are people in this church that minister, and they do it because they have been given that special gift. Then it says, he who teaches in teaching. Teaching is a gift of the Spirit. Now, there are fine teachers that have been trained to teach. Some of them have been trained in outstanding universities. But there are people who have been trained really by the Lord. Now, there have been other people in the body of Christ that have encouraged them, that have helped them, that have given them different kinds of, examples and experiences and so forth. But a Spirit-filled teacher, what a blessing. What a blessing. And those that receive that teaching often receive exhortation, and they are in turn, gifted to exhort different people. It says, he who gives, let him give with liberality. Now, I think most of us, when we think of giving, we think of the offering being collected, and maybe there's someone that God has blessed that person, and they give abundantly, and praise God for that. We are so thankful for those people that give unto the Lord. But there are other ways of giving, and we often see people who give, but they don't just give a little bit. They give with liberality, and it's a blessing. He who leads with diligence. Sometimes it's really easy to be a leader. Certainly there are times where it's easy to lead the body of Christ, and people are enthusiastic, and they are careful to solicit instruction. Now I want to do this, but how should I do this? And it's just a joy to have people like that. And there are times in the body of Christ when things go very smoothly, but there are seasons when they don't quite go so smoothly. And What you have to do in that kind of situation is the same thing you do when it's going smoothly. You lead with diligence. You lead knowing that God has answers, and maybe, you know, there are people that are being difficult, and you're thinking, man, what are we going to do with this? God is going to work it out. But he's going to work it out as you lead diligently. And part of that diligence is really, you know, you're praying. You're saying, Lord, I'll do my part, but I really need you to help me. I need you to help me get a handle on this guy. I need to help you. I need you to help me, you know, to clarify what needs to be done to this woman who's doing everything the wrong way. God will give a leader that kind of input as long as he is leading diligently. And, you know, sometimes it's not a problem, but sometimes there are problems. But if you're a leader, you lead with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, I'm so glad that as Paul is going through these different giftings, you know, he gives these qualities that we need to have to exercise the gift. He says, you know, if you're a merciful person, you need to be really cheerful in showing mercy. Maybe some of you know what it's like to have a person show you mercy, but at the same time they're showing you mercy, they're looking at you like you just did something really horrible, and they make you feel horrible. And, you know, maybe that's the way the world does it, but a Christian who has the gift of mercy is able to say to somebody who has really goofed things up, it's all right. We'll get through this. God's faithful. And you show mercy, but you show it with cheerfulness. Now, he's given us some real good gifts here, but I'm going to go ahead and quickly finish the rest of this chapter, because now that he's given the gifts, he's going to show us how to exercise those gifts in a way that glorifies Jesus Christ. He says, first of all, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. I suppose if it's a hypocritical kind of love, it's not love at all, right? Well, I think we understand how that goes. First of all, we haven't sought the Lord for a while. We haven't exercised those first two verses that we've talked about. We haven't presented our bodies lately to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I want you to use me, and I want what I say and what I do to be wholly acceptable to you." You know, maybe we haven't done that for a while, and we love, but our love's got some hypocrisy in it. Meaning that, you know, we're starting to love people one way, and we say we love this other person, but we really don't appreciate them that much, and we really don't love them that much, and our love begins to, let me just put it this way. There's a love that God fills us with, and it's called agape love, but there's another love that is more of a natural kind of love. And that natural love, it's not agape. It's not a heavenly kind of love. And, you know, it's real easy to, when we haven't been with the Lord, when we haven't spent that time with the Lord, it's just real easy for our love to kind of get a little hypocritical. And so he says, let love be without hypocrisy. I think the way to read this is this. Let our love be genuine. Let it be genuine agape love. And that's why it's so important to stay close to the Lord and ask the Lord to continue to fill us with his love. He says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Those two things go together. You know, it's real easy to abhor what is evil, but to not really cling to what is good. We need to do both. Then it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. That's really speaking of a family kind of love. It's speaking of love in the body of Christ. It's speaking about love between one another, those of us that know the Lord. We're to be kindly affectionate. And we're to do that showing people a preference that, you know, you get in line first. You know, just showing that kind of preference that says, I care about you, I love you, and I want to put you first. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Now understand that rejoicing in hope, it means that we're looking forward. We're looking forward to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. No matter what is going on, you know, currently, no matter, you know, how we're hassled, you know, at the moment, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And one day I'm going to be with him. And so I rejoice in that hope. Patient in tribulation. And as we've remarked several times, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly, I think we have a sense of what that means. It means that we're going to pray no matter what. And we're going to pray, you know, for God's will to be done. Even when it appears that God's will isn't being done, we're going to continue steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, if you're with your Christian friends, you're going to say, wow, you know, God is so good. And then when you're with people that don't know the Lord, you're of a different mindset. You're one thing for one group of people. You're another thing for another group of people. And then it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And what that means is, when it says give place to wrath, it doesn't mean your own wrath. It means give place to God's wrath. Let God take care of it. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't worry about how he's going to get it done. Don't worry if it doesn't happen right away. God will take care of it. So, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, well, then you feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Now, this is your enemy, by the way. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. What does that mean, heap coals of fire on his head? Well, it probably means that this guy is going to be really convicted. This man, this woman that's giving you a hard time. He's going to feel a great sense of conviction. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, Paul shares gifts that we need, and then having shared the gifts, he really gives us a very practical way which we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to live. And he packs a lot in those 21 verses. Father, we thank you for your instruction tonight on, first of all, the importance of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you. Not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us even tonight to transform our minds? That's so important. And then, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, and as your Spirit is working in us, to use the gifts that you've given to us. And then finally, Lord, to live the way you've called us to live. And Lord, you've called us to live with a genuine love, a love that is the agape love of God. And I pray that you would fill our hearts tonight with your love. Lord, it's always a good thing to ask that we be filled with your love. We need your love, Lord. And I pray that as we just spend a few minutes waiting on you, that, Lord, you would do a good work in our lives. And I pray one of the first things you would do is just fill us once again with your love. Lord, we need your love. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for a moment. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have two times of prayer. And you know, you can just stay where you are. But if you would like someone to pray with you, you raise your hand. Just raise your hand, and we'll have two fellows over here, Eric and Brandon. We'll be there to pray with you, and then over here we'll have Mark and Dan. And they'll be with you. And you know, if you would rather not have somebody pray with you, that's fine. If you'd like to pray with the person next to you, that's fine too. But this first time that we have just a time of waiting on the Lord, you spend some time with the Lord. And if there's some need that you have that you would like some help with, and you're not sure exactly how to pray, go ahead and raise your hand, and there'll be somebody there to pray with you. So let's just sing a real brief chorus, and we'll be seated. We'll have a time of prayer, and then we'll sing another song, and we'll have one more time of prayer. But the time of prayer, the second time around, is going to be real specific. So.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. There is no one like you. There is none beside.
Why don't you go ahead and sit down. Keep going. Father, as we lift up our hearts to you tonight, Lord, would you help us to be really honest with you? That's where prayer has got to start. Lord, if we've had a rough week, if we've been rebellious, Lord, would you show us, if we're not aware of it already, that we might repent, that we might be filled once again with genuine love. Lord, it's so important that we have that love. That it not just be seeping out of our lives. Lord, it needs to be welling up. It needs to be this giant fountain. And I pray, Lord, that you would just fill people with your love tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead
And Father, tonight we're just lifting our hearts up to you, Lord. We need you. We need you. Would you fill us with your love? Your genuine agape love. We thank you, Lord. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to, without any music, because I'm going to minister to the music people for just a moment. I want you to think beyond your specific personal needs. And I hope that in the few moments that we prayed that, you know, you talked to the Lord and you told him what those needs were. But I'd also like you to just consider, for the sake of the body of Christ, for the sake of Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach, gifts that perhaps you've been thinking about, and you believe that the Lord has put those things on your heart that you might be more effective in what you do in the kingdom of God here at Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. I would love to see a further outgrowth of giftings in this body. And I believe it's exactly what the Lord wants to do. But he needs to know that you're ready. So we're just going to have a time of prayer. If you would like specific prayer for a spiritual gift that you believe that God is asking you to ask him for, there'll be someone that can pray for you. You just raise your hand and they'll come to you, and or you can come up here, whatever you want to do. But this is just going to be a time of silent prayer, but not silent prayer so much, but the band won't be playing. So let's go ahead and, Lord, I just pray that this body would function as the body of Christ, and that, Lord, we would have every gift that we need. And, Lord, I'm sure that there are people here tonight that want to be used. And some of them, Lord, really need to use the gifts that you've made available. And I'm just believing, Lord, that there are gifts that you are about to bestow on people. But, Lord, they've got to ask. And I pray that they would ask tonight. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.